السلام عليكم.
And welcome to another edition of Mind, Body and Chow. In a few seconds time, inshallah, we'll be joined by Ronald Evergy for the verbal fitness sessions, and we'll have a Q&A after that, so look forward to that. And thereafter, we'll be joined at 1:45 by Faiza Munshi, and today we're discussing procrastination. So there's no time like now. Let's join Ronald right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Don't be. It's time for verbal fitness sessions on Mind, Body and Chow.
Okay, Salim is very trigger happy this afternoon, but it's cool. Assalamu alaikum, Ronald. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm well, and you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, doing well. Looking forward to this workout, bro.
No, it's very simple today. I mean, today's workout is really, you know, giving what the listeners what they want. There's been a lot of questions and queries coming through and comments as well, which we love to receive because it helps us meet the needs of what our listeners actually request and require. So we'll encourage them to keep on doing that.
Yes, yes. Before going to that workout, Ronald, let me give that details. You can SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp 0727861548. Or you can tweet as well at EJAZ_K. Remember, the lines are open all the time. 0118541548. Over to you, Ronald.
All right, so very simple today. We're going to focus on the whole body again, bringing in and mixing in high-intensity interval training, which is cardio and strength, and a little bit of mobility just to loosen the body up. So wherever you are, stand up, and I want you to imagine kickboxing. And with the kickboxing, I want you to imagine you're doing front knee kicks. So a front knee kick is when you lift your knee up in front of you as high as you can towards your chest, and then drop it down, and then change legs. And you keep going. But as you drop your leg down, you don't drop it down with a thud. You softly drop it down. So it's quick, but it's gentle, as though a cat is landing on the ground. Are you ready, brother?
I'm ready.
All right, so knee kicks, legs, or alternate legs, right, left, right, left, right, left. And while you're doing this, imagine you're pulling something down towards your knee as you raise your knee.
Mm-hmm.
So it's upper body and lower body cardio. And you do this for 60 seconds. Let's go. Knee kick, right, left. Keep going. And with this motion, don't angle your knee to different corners of the room. Go straight up and straight down in front of you. And that's the purpose of this exercise, is to mobilize the hips, get the blood flowing, and also begin to warm up areas we will be working out. Keep it going. 10 more. 9, 8, alternate legs. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and relax it down. Now the next one, we're going to kick in front of us, okay?
Yeah.
So you're going to lift the knee up in the same position, and as you get to the top, you're going to extend your knee as though you trapping someone in front of you or kicking someone in front of you, okay?
But
so you're going to go right leg, kick in front, left leg, kick in front, right leg, kick in front, left leg, kick in front. Now, these are front kicks. Now, keep going with the rhythm. And while you build up your pace and you get used to the exercise, I want you to go faster and faster and faster, as fast as you can, as high as you can, and as comfortable as what it may be for you. Keep going. Don't stop. Kick, 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 kick. Kick, just it. And you do this for 60 seconds again. All right, try 5 more, 4 more, 3 more, 2 more, and 1. Relax it down. Okay, now the next exercise, because we warmed up those areas, it was done for a particular reason. We are now going to work the back of the legs or the hamstrings. So what I want you to do is keep your feet shoulder width apart, bend both knees slightly, so there's a slight bend, and lean forward with your hands to try to touch your toes. While you do that, I want you now to put your right foot in front, forward, more forward than your left, and begin to slowly straighten that knee. Can you feel that stretch?
Feel the burn.
I feel the burn. I hold it there. Now, from that position, I want you to bend the knee and straighten the knee. Bend the knee and straighten the knee. That front. And you find what this does is this. It's not a bouncing motion. It allows you to increase your flexibility over time, but it also allows you to exercise the back of the leg, which is an area many women struggle with. And you're doing 30 repetitions on the one leg, and then you're going to change legs and do another 30 repetitions. All right, so change legs now. Try with the left leg. So remember, bend both knees, lean forward, left foot forward, and bend and straighten. Bend and straighten. Bend and straighten. Keep it going. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, and up we come. Now the next exercise is for those saddlebags, okay? So you're going to stand upright, hands on a chair or a table in front of you, and I want you to slowly lift your left leg up to the side, keeping your hip in line with your shoulder, so you're not taking your butt up backwards. Keeping your back upright, hip in line, shoulders, hold it up, and I want you to pulsate. That means it's going to go up and down in very small motions. So do that for 60 seconds on each leg. You're going to find your hips going to pull, your buttocks going to pull, your side, love handles are going to work as well, because your back is upright and you're working those thigh muscles. Keep on going, keep it going, pulsate it. Change legs, let's go. That's it, keep it going, raise it and drop it down. Very small range of motion, but fairly quickly because you're pulsating it.
Feels like your leg is going to fall off.
Well, when you kick the soccer ball next time, the soccer ball's going to fly further.
Yes.
So this is a very good exercise because you're working muscles and areas that you don't normally exercise or work. And relax you down, Brother Ajaz.
Right.
Now, for the sports fanatics, they might say, Ronald, this sounds like a ladies' workout.
Mm.
It's not only a workout for the ladies, it's for the gents as well. Do you know when you, in football, for example, when you push off on the right foot or the left foot to go to the side,
yes,
to chase a ball or to a pass that's been kicked for your foot, these are the muscles that get recruited to you, to push you even further. So when you look at our professional athletes, they do these simple exercises that might seem very weird because they want to perform optimally and have balance throughout their body and strength that will enhance the game.
Indeed, this helps you in terms of if you want to burst sideways or backwards or to turn a defender or something. So yeah, I can feel that it is indeed helpful.
For you, it was definitely, even for our listeners out there, for the ladies, it's wonderful to shape and tone those areas that you may be struggling with, especially in the lower body. And for the gentlemen, this is exercises you need to do because functionally, it will prevent back pain. It will help you strengthen your entire lower body and give you more functional appeal with your muscles and your bones.
Wonderful stuff, Ronald. Jazakallah khair for that. It's time now for the Q&A. And I see the first question, what's the best way to lose fat on the tummy?
You know, the best way to lose fat in your tummy is actually a multitude of things. It's one is watch what you're eating. So that's an exercise on its own. Because more often than not, we see food, we don't watch it, we eat it, and we keep on eating it. So you need to watch what you're eating. You've got to manage your calories, follow a high and a low carbohydrate cycling eating strategy, allowing your body to burn excess fat. And from an exercise perspective, you've got to bring in cardio. If you don't bring in cardio, you're going to eliminate the increase of the metabolism of the entire body to force the fat metabolic cycle to work. So your fat metabolism will not work if you don't do cardio. And then the last thing is sit-ups and those kinds of exercise are not going to give you a toned tummy region. Because remember, Brother Jones, you have your six-pack, right? In front of your six-pack, more often than not, is a layer of fat, the protective layer. Now, when you do sit-ups only, you work the muscles, not the fat. So what happens, the fat layer remains the same, but the muscles then become stronger, yes, but they could also increase in size slightly because you're exercising it from a resistance training perspective, which means your tummy could be firm, but it could be big. So be very careful thereof. So rock and roll with your cardio. Have fun with it. Push it 3 to 4 times a week, minimum 20 minutes at a medium to high intensity, and watch what you eat. And that will help you burn fat, not only in the tummy, but throughout the body.
Perfect. Now, another one, Ronald here says, what do I eat for more energy?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. You know, we often find we get tired. And our level of exhaustion is associated, one, with the lack of activity, but also with what we eat and what we don't eat. Many people are following these eating strategies, Brother Jones, where they don't eat for long periods of time. I call them mini starvation periods. And when that happens, your energy dips. Your whole body is in a shock system because it craves something to eat, because eating and food and healthy food in particular is like petrol for your car. It's a fuel for your body. So what do you need to eat? You need to eat consistently throughout the day. So every 2.5-3 hours, you're snacking on something small and healthy. In the afternoons, prevent yourself from having high carbohydrate, starchy foods. So don't have a big bowl of rice with curry or 10 rupees with a curry or a lot of biryani. Rather go for options that are more lean meats and protein-based with salads and veg. The reason is this is because if you increase your sugar intake from the starchy carbohydrates, what will then happen is you'll have a quick energy spike and then a sudden drop. And when that happens, you're going to feel like you need to sleep between asr and zor, and that is going to happen. So be very careful thereof. So what you need to do is have a lot of water, have smaller meals throughout the day, and be very, very careful of not having too many starchy carbohydrates in the afternoon for lunch and or the evenings.
Jazakallah khair. For that, remember you've got about 4 minutes or so to get your questions in. 48855 SMS, WhatsApp 0727861548, Twitter at EJAZ_K. The next question, Ronald says, how do I track if I'm making progress, scale or tape measure?
You know, for me, the scale is an enemy. And the reason I say this is because the scale measures everything, brother. When you stand on the scale and you have a hairpiece in, you have too much clothes on, you've got coins in your pocket, you've got, big shoes with big soles, that's going to add weight onto the scale. So the scale measures absolutely everything. If you've just had a meal, those few grams that will increase on the scale will be measured. So the scale is very deceptive. And knowing that our weight fluctuates throughout the day, depending on what we're eating, the time of the day, etc., depending on the surface you put the scale on, for me the scale is not a true reflection of seeing results. My advice is, and my suggestion to all our clients, both corporate and private, is start measuring with a tape measure. Measure certain areas on the body, certain girths, like the arms, like the chest, like the waist, like the hip, like the buttock, thighs and calves. You begin to track yourself on that basis because that measures the circumference of how much you can then calculate and help people calculate how much fat versus muscle they have. So we know what needs to happen in which areas. But the best way to do it, if you don't even have access to a tape measure or a scale, is to literally check with your clothes. If you can now fit into clothes that you couldn't fit into 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, then you're achieving results. And the other way to do it is check on your level of fitness. If you can now walk up a flight of stairs, grab your shopping bags and not be out of breath, where you can play with your kids for an hour, half an hour, 45 minutes and not be, I need a water break, then you know you're getting fitter and stronger. So look at other measures to assess your progress besides the traditional scale.
Perfect. Before I get into that last question, still waiting for one listener to let us know. We've been doing the verbal fitness sessions for a month now. We're looking for someone to give us an inspiring story of how these exercises we've been doing daily have helped you maybe drop a trouser size or, you know, feel fitter, stronger. Let us know. You've got all the details to get hold of us. Do so, please. Finally, Ronald, fitness and pregnancy. His sister says, must I just get fit and get fit after birth?
You know, when you get pregnant, firstly, congratulations, that is such a wonderful blessing. You know, secondly, anticipate the fact that there is going to be weight gain. One is the fetus and the baby inside of you, two is the water, two is everything else in the center and so forth. So what you need to anticipate is that you will gain weight. Some people will say, no, you mustn't gain more than 12 or 15 or 16 or 17 kilos. But my suggestion is that if you have been fit and active before you got pregnant, maintain that. You might decrease your intensity. But if you haven't been active before and you found out you're pregnant and you now want to get fit, it's time to get fit. Rather incorporate gradual activity, whether it be pool exercises, light cardio, sitting on the stationary bike, light walking. That's okay to do. But don't push your body because you now want to get fit and lose weight when you're pregnant. That is not what you should aim for. Your priority when you are pregnant is to ensure that you as a mom are providing your body and your baby with a right environment to maximize healthy growth and development in that. But if you have got issues and concerns with weight loss, please let us know, because we can then definitely give you the right information to prepare you for post-birth. Because once you literally give birth, within 6 weeks thereafter, you can be back in getting healthy, getting fit, and tightening up all those areas that you want to tighten to help you get back to the weight that you want to be post-birth.
Perfect stuff. Jazakallah khair, Ronald, for that. You have yourself a wonderful weekend. We'll pick it up, inshallah, on Monday afternoon again. Take care, bro.
Jazakallah. And to you and the listeners, have a blessed weekend, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ronald there with the verbal fitness sessions on mind, body, and chow. After the break, inshallah, we'll be joined by Faiza Munshi and be talking procrastination. Stay tuned.
When life is hard, you know it can get hard sometimes. You are the only one I will follow till I die. So I will pray, and Allah will keep me on the straight path, holding me close, I'll never stray back. Just wait for me to come home. And when life is hard,
Yes, and now it's time for this discussion on procrastination, as we discussed earlier. It's time to join or to welcome Faiza Munshi onto the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Faiza.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Jaz. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Very interesting topic, procrastination, considering I think a lot of us seem to have that issue.
Yes, it is, and I'm really...
You were going to put up the show for next week.
Right? I said, let's speak about procrastination next week, Faiza.
Let's do that.
But yes. Not, let's do it right now. What exactly is the concept of procrastination?
Basically, I mean, when people think of procrastination, it's taking something that's important and putting it off for a later date. So it's not just a once-off thing, you know, where you've got an important task and you've got to put that thing off because you've had an emergency or you're not feeling well or something else comes up. That's just life. That's life. But procrastination is where it's not a once-off thing. It's a habit. It becomes part of who you are. So what you do is you put up important tasks at the expense of something else. So sometimes what happens is it becomes such a habit that people actually put important tasks aside, and that impacts their careers. It also impacts them, you know, fulfilling their potential. So if you put things off that you should be doing right now in favor of doing something which is more enjoyable, for example, or something that you're more comfortable with, then that's something that is you would be termed a procrastinator. So some people say it's laziness, but it's not actually. So we'll look at the reasons why I say that, and in terms of why procrastination is, it's a little bit not complicated, but when it becomes a habit, it gets a little bit more complex as just, you know, leaving things aside.
Right. Now, you know, some people maybe they try and they don't work hard, they work smart, right? So
yes.
they would, you know, maneuver and chat around and all of this, and then they'll cram some work and somehow manage to make their deadlines, right? So how do you know, Faiza, that you are in fact procrastinating? You know, is this what I was speaking about now, is that also falling under procrastination?
Well, let's look at it. I mean, if you look at it in terms of media, it's a little bit different because if you're putting off all the work you've got to do for your actual program. So, for example, if you had to do all your preparations for your program at the last minute, but instead this morning you had been doing favors for everybody else in the building at Radio Islam, then we know, you know what, you're procrastinating on something that is important because it's something that's going to impact your day. So, for example, you come on here and you're like, you know, they say when you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. So that kind of thing. So that's where, so firstly, you fill your day with sort of low priority tasks. And anyone asks you, can you do this for me? You said, yes. And can you do, so, but you know that you've got something really important that is at the top of your list that's just not getting done. For example, if there's people, let's look at people who are studying. People are following a career, they're going to campus. So they leave a really important assignment that they know is absolutely vital. They'll leave it aside and they'll do everything else. They'll do projects or, you know, the stuff that's due even later in the year, but that's easier, something they're comfortable with, something that they're able to do quite easily. They'll fill their time with all of that. And then also, for example, if you're dealing with, a lot of people deal with emails, you know, on a regular basis. What a procrastinator would do is they'd read through the emails, and then they'd read through it several times, go up and down from the emails, but they wouldn't do anything with it. So if their job is to actually read the emails and respond, they'd read it, but they'll say, okay, you know what, I'll respond at a later time. But it's not just a once-off thing. It becomes a habit. So today, tomorrow, the next day, and then all of a sudden, like you said, you know, it comes to a point where somebody has to cram and really push to get this thing done. And let's be honest, when we're cramming like that, it's not always our best work. You know, we're trying to push something into a very short space of time. You know, and then also procrastinators tend to wait for the right moment. And we're waiting for the right moment, the right mood, am I in the best of mood, you know, that kind of stuff. So they're trying to find out, okay, when I'm in a better mood. But that better mood doesn't come for quite some time. So the rule of thumb is usually if you put an important task off for more than a day at a time, then you know that you really just, you know, getting into that habit of procrastinating on important things. And another one is, I'm not sure if you get that cup of coffee near the desk all the time, but often, you know, when you're sitting down to do an important task, and suddenly you need a cup of coffee. So you know this is high priority, you sit down and I'm going to do this right now. And suddenly you sit down and you think, okay, maybe that cup of coffee is calling me. So it's just a way of getting away from what's the important task that you're supposed to be doing. And so it's almost like running away from it in many ways. And we'll talk about why that's an issue for many people.
Yep. People may see procrastinators as just being lazy, Faiza. Are there very real reasons people put off important tasks?
What do you think, eh? There should be reasons, right? I mean, people, not everybody that's a procrastinator is lazy. Yeah, sometimes we know, you know what, we just literally just lazy to do something and to get up and get something important done. But that's something that once in a while you'd be lazy, you know, you just don't. But when it becomes so ingrained in us, there's usually a very good reason behind it. Now, one of some of the important reasons, which I'll cover now, is sometimes something's just simply too boring. It's just that assignment, that work assignment, whatever it is, it's always, it just seems like such a big burden to actually get this thing done. And also, besides being boring, sometimes it looks too overwhelming to people. So you won't try it because it looks too difficult. And sometimes it's not even that difficult. You just got to get started and it will, you know, it things ease up and you realize, hey, it's not so bad, I can actually tackle it. But so if people see something is really boring, they might put it off until later. And then also a big problem in terms of procrastination is when people are very disorganized. So you're not sure, you know, what is the importance of things and what is the most important thing to do. Then you just kind of leave everything aside. It's almost like, okay, I'll get to everything later on. And then you just do the simpler things, or you'll do favors for everyone else as opposed to getting what you're meant to get done. And then a very surprising reason that I've seen and I've come to see is that people are, people, and we're all afraid of failure, right?
Right.
I mean, we'd be afraid to take on a task. We might procrastinate on it because we're afraid to fail. And that would be a natural thing, that you're afraid to fail, so you'll take your time and, you know, we'd go around it a few times instead of just tackling it head on. But the surprising thing is a lot of people are afraid of success. So it seems odd, but you know,
Explain yourself.
Okay. So for example, like I said, failure is easy to understand. But they're afraid of success in the sense of, okay, I'm going to do this and I just want to do, I want to do this and I want to do well in it. But what if I do too well in it? What if it really takes off? What if, you know, my life becomes more complicated? And they think, okay, if it goes too well, I might not have enough time for myself anymore, you know? And what if I don't cope with, for example, say for example a person is looking to start a little business, but they're procrastinating on it because they're worried that, oh, what if I'm so successful that I can't cope? But that's just a habit in terms of procrastinating, is that, you know, you use that as a reason not to get things done, not to just take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and to get things done, get the important tasks done, and then deal with almost the success of it afterwards, or the failure of it, or the consequences of what you've actually achieved in terms of that. So I know sometimes people may say, okay, why would you be afraid of success? But there are a lot of people who are very set in their ways, and they're not confident enough to be out there and be an absolute success, you know? So they take kind of go very slowly into what they need to do, and sometimes they actually just leave it aside and actually never, ever tackle the most important things in their life. And that's why I said, when I started off, I said one of the biggest things that procrastinators tend to do is that they don't fulfill their full potential. It's because you're too afraid to actually take on that main task and that main aspect that you need to be doing in terms of, you know, your life and what you're meant to be following in your path.
Indeed, Faiza. And, you know, we've discussed all the different factors regards procrastination, all things procrastination. But how do we change this behavior, Faiza?
Some of the ideas in terms of changing behavior would be, you've got to break anything that's a habit, obviously. I mean, like you were speaking to, when you talk about the exercise, the slot you do before this.
Yeah.
Anyone who's never been exercising, it's very difficult for them to break that sort of, you know, I'll sit back and do nothing habit and start doing exercise. And it starts becoming, so it's, you've got to put steps in place in order, for example, like we use the example from before, is you've got to put small steps in place so that you break the habit of being a couch potato to being somebody who actually becomes an exercise fundi. It's the same thing with the mind. When something has to do with the mind, body, mind, all of it, it's all linked. And so what happens is with our minds, we've got to break the same habit, you know? So like any habit, it takes time, it takes effort, and a few tries sometimes, and different strategies in order to break the habit. I'll make it simple because I know we don't have lots of time to discuss these things in detail. But one of the first thing is to make up your own rewards. So you decide, okay, I'm going to give myself this reward if I can actually accomplish this task. But of course, we're not talking about those simple tasks that you do all the time. We're talking the one top of your list priority that you've been leaving aside for the last 3 days, 5 days, 9 days, 6 months, 1 year. You know, that particular task, you say, okay, if I can achieve this task, I'll give myself rewards. And one of the better ways to do it is to break it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is to break that task that big, so it almost seems like an elephant, and break it down into chunk size, bite-sized pieces for that elephant. So you can actually, after a period of time, say, I've achieved this. So you break it down into small chunks, and every time you tick that off your list and say, you know what, I've gotten closer to my goal, I've gotten closer to dealing with what I procrastinate over, you give yourself a reward. For many people, it will be chocolate. Okay, maybe just for some of us, it will be chocolate. But simple rewards, like either buying yourself something or going out for a break with your friends, anything that, you know, helps you feel a little bit better and feel like you've achieved something, even if it's the smallest of goals. And then also, often peer pressure is seen as negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here, you can use it in the opposite way. So what you could do is ask one of your friends to check up on you. So somebody that you're close to that knows your goals, that knows your views on life, and knows what you're hoping to achieve, you ask them to just, okay, you need to keep an eye on me. Make sure that I follow what I'm doing, you know. It doesn't have to be a daily thing, but they can just keep an eye and say, you know what, how far are you with that? How far are you with this assignment? How far are you with that experiment? How far are you with, you know, that business you want to open? So things like that, they just keep an eye on what you're doing. And then also there's often we mentioned earlier that if you're not doing what you need to be doing and you're doing the unimportant stuff, you could come here, like we said, at 1:30 to the show and say, oh, this doesn't look good, and put on a really bad show. So what I'm trying to say is you identify the unpleasant consequences of not doing a task, of procrastinating and not doing the job, you know, when it's meant to be done. So when you realize, okay, you know what, this is not going to be good for me and it's not going to look good, you might actually start doing the work earlier.
Hmm.
And, the last thing I would like to mention is that if a person is very disorganized, and that's the reason for procrastination, which is one of the reasons mentioned, is you have to just prioritize. So make a to-do list, start with priorities, and then set yourself goals. But it has to be time-bound. So give myself 5 days to finish this page of this assignment. I give myself, 2 days to put this business proposals to get together, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be broken up, like I said, the elephant, into small little mm-hmm. bite-sized pieces, and then give yourself a reward for it and also tick it off the list, like make a priority list and cover the most important things first. It's not always the most enjoyable. It's not the most fun, but sometimes when you get that out of the way, you can actually, you know, see the beauty of what you're doing and enjoy what you're doing.
Yes, and I see a nice interaction here from a listener. It says, don't leave for tomorrow what you can leave for the day after.
I kind of, yeah. I think we all kind of think like that most days, eh?
Yeah,
but that's a very nice one.
Yep, so Faiza, like we said, we wanted to complete this topic today, but maybe we should complete it next week. No?
Jazakallah
khair, Faiza, for your time, inshallah. Another topic next week, and we thank you again for your time. You have yourself a wonderful day.
YouTube.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Faiza Munshi there, talking about procrastination. And that is indeed, we are a nation of procrastinationers. No, that's wrong. Procrastinators, Salim. Jazakallah khair for your time. And that's the end of Mind, Body and Chow for today. We'll pick it up next week, inshallah. You have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you soon. So from Salim.
Assalam.